to the Mug Meetings Summaries podcast. I'm Gilbert Dutilleux. Our March Meetings RTFM topic featured Sean Cody talking about using the DD command to do data recovery on devices such as USB keys.
I was on a course last week learning Apple crap, and something that happened midway through the week is my USB key died. It died bad, such that all the work I was working on in the course kind of went with it. So, while in the class and needing, actually, my documents back, I had to do forensics on this horrible USB key. Well, it turns out that 2 megabytes on this 16 gig key just can't read. Once you read them, it disconnected and reconnected. It was not fun.
What's on those 2 megabytes? What's on those 2 megabytes?
I was lucky. We'll get to that. So, not having any of my own tools, all I had was, you know, base OS X. There's only one tool you could possibly use, and that's our friend DD. What is DD? Well, it's essentially raw reading of devices. This is a nice manual page for it. It is one of the most useful commands ever, period. What does it do? Well, this name doesn't really apply to it. Basically, it reads and writes stuff. That's all it does. And it abstracts it to the I/O control level. So you can do an fopen, seek, that kind of fun stuff. You can do all kinds of things to it. But in this case, I was using it to recover a rather large USB key. So I'm going to find my terminal here. Okay. So, I will get a USB key. I thought I had one up here. Not with anything useful on it.
Great. Okay.
I don't want to blow up somebody else's data.
You know, back in the old days, we had stacks and stacks of floppies. Yeah. And we just got stacks and stacks of USB. And they're still all unmarked.
They don't stack up as well.
All right, so I got something on here. Real world instrumentation with Python. Nice O'Reilly book. Yay. Here's a tip. Every day, O'Reilly has a sale on one ebook. It's usually 50% off, or you can use your mug ID to get another, or to get 50% off ebooks. I've bought way too many of them as a result. But, you know, it's a nice way to get some really, really good books for...
There's a 12-step program. Like,
oh, I refuse to admit there's a problem. All right. So I have this USB key, call it Patriot. And let's just say, you know, for some reason I can mount it, but I can't see any of the file systems on it. It just says, oh, yeah, need to initialize. Like, once you unplug it and unplug it a bunch of times, you mess up the, you know, boot area. Or the file system headers, which happens. What you can do, if you do mount, it'll show you this nice thing. This is the device file system file for this device. Disk 1 S1 just means disk 1 slice 1. The slice is from, you know, BSD parlance. But for the most part, it will be like dev WD0A under OpenBSD. In Linux, it's something or other. SD, well, that's usually for, like, Linux, but, or, not Linux, SCSI, or serial ATA devices, which mount under the SCSI bus.
They all go under the SCSI.
It's horribly complicated. Regardless, when you type mount, you can see what it's mounted as, or in your FS tab. So, for me, it's DDIF is the input file name, and disk S1. So, when you do an FDIS, or when you do MKIS or MKFS, it essentially does very much the same thing. It opens the raw device, and it reads and writes data from the start to the end, just like a normal file. So one of the nice things about Unix-style operating systems is when they say everything is a file, they mean it, even your disks. So the input is this USB key, output file, test.bin. So that's OF is the output file. BS is the block size. Depending on, if you leave this by default, it depends on the OS, it'll be like 512 bytes or whatever the default block size is. It's usually 512. Newer hard drives are now 4K block size. It's something to take it, if you do not use the right block size, it will still work. It'll just be ridiculously slow. You can use DD on tapes as well. So, yeah. I've had to do that a few times to recover some really bad tapes. So in most cases, I just use 1024K, 1 meg, because I don't know why. I just chose that number. And then I think the reason why I like to do it that way is because I can easily do the math. So that's 16 megs. So I think that's 16 megs. 16 no, gig. 16 gig. So, well, this is a 32 gig key. It's only half. So, for instance, we'll just do this. So we'll just do, let's just do 256. Oh, it's because, oh, I mounted it. Let me see if I can do this without. No. I'd have to kill the file system on it in order to do it.
No. Let this current iteration be mounted and then unmount it from the command line.
Oh, okay. That'll work. I haven't tried that.
What's the default box size? Or
512 bytes. The man page for wherever you have it installed will tell you what the default is. So umount?
Yeah. You'll have to do sudo.
Holy, I need to type. Yes, that's my 30-character password. Oh, look at this. Disk util umount. Unmount.
Okay.
Thank you, Apple.
Does Apple say unmount? Jeez.
Okay. So, nope, still doesn't like it.
But the device node will still exist, right?
Yeah. Okay, let's try it.
Should.
Yep, there you go. So, one really awesome thing about DD is that you get no output unless something bad happens. There are patches out there to do like DD busy, and it will just do the slash rotating thing. But whatever, it just keeps going. If you're stuck in that situation, what you can do is use something from a previous RTFF set. I think I talked about it. IOSTAT 1111111. So you see that it's currently reading off that this disk 1. Remember what I said? It was dev disk 1. It's currently reading at 5 megabytes a second. So that's what I would use for progress in that state. Also, the nice thing about this, I can just cancel it. It read lots. At 5 megs a second, 50 seconds. Oh, it was almost done. I should have just waited.
Usual.
All right, so that gives me this test.bin file. The name of the file doesn't matter, of course. It's just a binary blob. So let's just say you had a text file in there, and you know the name of the text file, or you know part of the contents, like you had a username or password stored in there or something, you can use this lovely command called strings, and then pipe to more. So, oh look, NT loop bootloader, you can tell this was a FAT32 mounted volume. Notice this awesome stuff. What does that tell you? It tells you there is executable content in the bootloader. So bootloaders aren't just there to look pretty. They actually have code in them. So you can go through and figure out, oh, look at that. There was an XML file somewhere on there at some point in time. Now, note, this is reading the drive raw. So if you deleted a file and it lazy deleted, meaning just unlinked it, you can recover parts of the file. So in this case, I had some form of XML document, and it looks like this was a plist from a iOS application I was writing. So keep going. Look at all this good stuff. My file's still there. At least the file name is. And if I was smart enough to figure out how to parse the FAT32 format, I could get it back. And there are tools out there that'll do it, and they'll charge you an arm and a leg. Mm-hmm. There aren't really any good free ones out there that I noticed.
File rec is pretty good, I think.
Yeah, never used it.
There's a handful that are okay.
I had a few that a friend gave me. So, but what happens if you can't read off the drive or some portions of it, or it dies at a certain spot? Well, that's where DD's magic comes in. You can use this really awesome thing called skip. Skip says the number of blocks to read in, right, before doing anything. So in this case, if I was having problems with the 257th meg here, so I'll just do 12. And I'm going to do 257, or 258 just to get slightly past it. You can reduce the block size and narrow it down so you lose even less. Read it into another file, test 2.bin, and it'll do that. So it read that in. Now how do you assemble it all back together? Well, that's even easier. Dev 0 is your friend. Mm-hmm. OF equals test.bin, BS equals 1024K, count equals 1. What does that do? It reads in 1 meg of zeros from the zero device and puts it into a file called, I shouldn't name it, test.bin. This is what happens when you don't prepare anything. So there we go. Now I've got a meg. So I can do cat test.bin 0 for the whole, and test 2.bin to whole image.bin or .img, because sometimes Mac stuff does interesting stuff with IMG files. That will create your whole image.bin, which you can then either DD onto a similar media or transfer to something else to do a forensic tool like FileRec or whatever. Just pass it a file. If you're on FreeBSD, you can mount the image using VND, which is a virtual disk mounter. I'm sure Linux has one as well. So instead of sending your USB key to a place that'll charge you $1,000 to give you a file back, you can just use DD to do the exact same thing they do. That's a really, really slick trick. And with 16 gigs, and then you have to figure out how to get it home. Well, I transferred it to my iPad as an MP3 file. Transferred it back home, did the analysis on the file, deleted it off the iPad, and I'm done. So in most cases, you most likely have the tools in your hands. You just got to think around it a little bit. And DD is one of those really weird tools that will come in super handy. Everything you can think of can be changed. Convert. Ooh, I don't want to talk. This one is not fun to work with. It makes your head blow up. That's CBS. Basically, if you're reading from things that can support different block sizes between two devices, you can set a certain factor to convert one block size type to another. Like, let's say you have a 4K drive and you want to mirror it onto an identical size but 2K drive. You could do it, but it's not worth your time. We talked about seek. Copy end files before terminating. That's a new one. I haven't seen that one before. Counts we talked about. You know, just count as many as you want. Skip is kind of like seek. More conversions. By default, you want block. It'll leave it that way. But, you know, if you've got really, really old IBM, hence Ebkedic, if you really cared. Lowercase, no error. No error doesn't work in most versions of DD.
Yeah.
So there is a solution for that that is right there. We'll talk about that in a second. No truncation. So if you get a bunch of zeros, DD can sometimes be smart and just go, oh, I got a bunch of zeros, so I'm just going to seek and write. But in this case, it just copies, goes back and forth. Sync and no sync, that would be performance. Just leave it as it is. And then it goes into all these block stuff, which is not really all that important. This is a really old one. This has been around forever in the OpenBSD manual, and that's how do you take the floppy file system and put it on to make a bootable floppy? Well, to make the floppy file system, they wrote it to a floppy in the old days and then read it back in with DD. Now they just do it with mounting the virtual image. But for the most part, you could DD the floppy file system onto the drive, and there you go. What if you've got a Windows machine that you want to nuke from orbit? Because you had, like, you know, bad MBR that Windows would refuse to overwrite or something. Well, DD IF equals dev U random, just because I'm funny. And can't type. OF equals mount point. BS equals 34K. Count equals 1. That's more than enough. You just nuke the front of the drive. Re-F-disk it, re-MBR it. The misbehaving drive is now, like, new. And then throw it through SpinWrite to make sure you didn't nuke the drive badly. But drives are just devices. Just read and write them as you want, just like normal files. Now, when you have misbehaving media, like disks that take forever to return and whatnot, your kernel can panic and go, I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm just going to disconnect now. Or in this case, the Mac, it disconnects the device and then connects it again. To get around that, there's this DD rescue. It's exactly the same thing as DD, except very more tolerant in terms of problem. So it will do retries. It will go, oh, I got bad data. I'll try again. Something that a less... Like, DD is not meant to be intelligent. It's just meant to read a bunch of crap into a file. You don't want it to do anything special. This will do special things and will make life a little easier on failing hard drives. I don't know about USB keys, but... For the most part, just skipping the broken parts is more than enough. That's pretty much the basics of DD. Oh, here you go. You want to make it? You want to make? Want to burn a CD?
No.
Oh, no. Or make an image of a CD. I'm sure you can burn it as well.
Not
you just gotta put one thing in front of it.
Hmm? Different drives have different burning commands. May not
would be the funky driver.
Yeah.
Actually, that on audio CD because audio do not realize.
Yeah. You'll read it, but mounting it afterwards would be fun.
Well, if you copy the ISO back on to the disk, audio player won't be tested.
No.
The standard CD audio on an ISO analysis.
This is bit for bit.
Yeah, it's bit for bit. Calling it ISO.
Doesn't matter because.
Your burning program, though, is it's going to use different.
Try to use different track settings.
Tracks may be considered like different sessions on the disk.
Yeah, it's higher level than the file system.
Yeah.
Redbook audio is a different structure on the glass.
However,
I bet, though, if.
You can use that for packet writing DVD burners.
That
oh, really?
I built instructions for
packet writing.
Adam was just saying that this can also be used for packet writing DVD readers and writers and burners and all that other good stuff. Like, there's all kinds of crazy things you can do with it. Mm-hmm. But that's just a tool to get data. What to do with it afterwards, it's up to you. So that's where strings and grep and whatever, because it's just a file. You can even use DD to carve up the file later on. Like, you found the beginning and end of your file and want to get it back. I only had to do that for one single file, and it was all text, so it wasn't too difficult. But because I didn't want to write that 150 lines of code again.
Like you, the blocks are contiguous.
Text. Most of the time, text will be right.
Yeah,
because it's so small.
Because it's very small. It will be less than a block size. Yeah. One character, one byte, unless it's UTF-16, and that's 2 bytes per character, and you can configure it for your math. But it's still going to be small.
Or UTF-8, some of them could be
16. Yeah, UTF-8 16 wide, or UTF-8 wide, something like
that. UTF-8
allows up to 6 bytes per character.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Does anybody have any questions about DD?
FYI, this will work on your camera chips too. Same process.
Yeah, it's a device.
If your camera chip goes in the camera and it's like, there's no pictures here.
No!
You'll usually find there's one little bad slot in the middle. You will lose a few pictures, but...
It'll work on anything that shows up in /dev. VN is a virtual mounting.
Transparency.
This is on a Mac, so there's like a gajillion things here. So, yeah, if it shows up under dev... You'll be able to use it. You can use TTYs. Now, the one I showed brought up was 0 and URandom. 0 is kind of null. I can't spell.
Just slow down.
So 0 is just essentially anything I read, I always get back 0. Doesn't matter what. There's no device. It's just a piece of code that spits out zeros. Null is a piece of code that accepts data but doesn't do anything with it. And URandom is part of the random tools. There's URandom, random, and there's another random that I can't think of, but I only use U. Dev random is not entropy safe, so every time you boot, it's seeded with the clock or whatever your OS chooses. URandom is entropy safe, meaning it's going to be random. It's seeded from a bunch of different devices, and it's seeded constantly. So it's a little bit safer to use if you want more...
More random.
All you want to do is psych out windows, either one will work.
Yeah, or zeros.
Yeah.
Zeros are fine. If you want to erase a, you know, while true.
Careful.
True. Yeah. DD something. Yeah. Dev you random. Do it 7 That's times in the size of the drive. You know, you're now DOD 7 spec wipe, right? It's a really awesome tool, but those 3 devices are very, very handy for other things, not just DD. So if you need a source of randomness, just read a byte out of URandom. It's better than writing your own, for instance. Cool. Any questions? Sure.
Now, one time I used Deep Copy Windows drives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But once in a while, as I got bigger drives, I kept getting more and more errors, and I was never sure what it was doing with the error. Like, if you have a read error on one, does it substitute something?
Implementation specific, by default, it does nothing. If the DD has errors and continues, it skips. Yeah, DD rescue will do things like try again. But most implementations of DD just skip.
So you end up with a shorter...
Yeah.
Trying to think of how to do a better recovery for this file system. I could use DD to recover the contents, say, of a USB memory stick and somehow put it in the partition of a hard drive, say, a hard drive that's got nothing on it and is ready for me to...
That's the same method would work.
Because I was just thinking there's a
but it's going
called... to get data back,
mm-hmm.
that is really good at going to the file system and recovering damaged file system. Mm-hmm. Using that, then, to recover all the files from that.
Yeah, the block sector thing was important there, because the old file system may not have the same block size. So when you have different size drives, the layout of the drive will be different. So your mileage will vary, especially going from USB key to spinning metal.
Definitely work. I've got 2 4-gig USB keys that I keep the data off.
Then I would read the 4-gig keys in and mount them as virtual devices and then run the forensic tool on that. I could point you towards a few later. I don't have the names off the top of my head.
You can always use DD Rescue to suck in an incomplete image, like suck in what you can, write it back out onto a brand new 4-gig USB key, and then put your tool at that.
Yeah.
One way to avoid all the block size problems. Of course, you still run into the usual problem, same as you do with hard drives in RAID, is one manufacturer's 4-gig is another manufacturer's 4-gig plus 512 bytes.
Yeah,
but that's why I'd never do drive to drive. I'll do drive to file to drive.
That's why I was thinking of, I've got a stack of older drives that are considered too small to be worth much, but much bigger than a USB. I could wipe it, create a partition, copy the data onto that spinning drive, and then use my forensic tool to try and get it.
You need the file system level too, not just the drive, right?
Yeah. You're just doing a raw read of everything that you could possibly read from that device. You can even use this to recover from RAID failures, where they don't rebuild properly. Where if your time is cheaper than the recovery company's time is, read in a bunch of files and do the reassembly yourself.
If the device has multiple partitions, you have to go to this for each partition.
No.
We'll take that physical device.
Yeah. Again, the device node that you choose, in this case, S1 is a slice, so that's a partition. Now, if it mounted to this dev disk 1, that's the whole drive regardless. Under BSD, the slice is called C, so dev WD1C will be the whole drive. WD1A is the first partition and whatnot. So it's all in the device node that you chose.
So you could do just a partition. You've got one device and one partition's host. That would have happened. You can fish that one back out and tinker with it without screwing up the rest.
Yeah, as long as
and then hopefully write it back.
As long as your kernel can mount the device into some file system node, like dev anything, you can do whatever you want.
As long as you can see it and mount,
then you're good.
What if it won't mount? Can you find it anyway?
D-message.
Yeah.
You won't have a driver for it.
You have to figure out where it's
you'd have to
connected.
Make a device node from with MKNOD.
Yeah.
I would consider it gone at that point.
Yeah, well,
but it's possible, right? If your time is not worth much. You can spend as much time as you want to track it
around. You can make it visible enough to go.
Yeah, cool. Question over here.
I was reading news recently this week that FileWipe, which we use to clear drives, hard drives, and everything, can be executed on most USB. Don't guarantee that erase.
Correct.
What you're telling me is DD will be a guaranteed erasure if we use new RAM?
No.
Well, if you write back to it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Any device that reserves allocation blocks and you cannot address them in any way, you're never going to get guarantees. Like SSDs, they'll do, we're going to reserve, 20 gigs.
Actually,
you won't be able, if you can't address it, you can't wipe it.
Okay. Actually, there's one exception to that.
Yeah, there's a recent thing.
Yeah, anything that supports the ATA5 command set or better, which is pretty much any hard drive you can buy now and any SSD you can buy now, there's a low-level ATA command.
Security erase, I think.
Thank you. Security erase. The manufacturer, the guaranteed is how much do you trust the manufacturer, but they claim that it will overwrite every single sector on the disk.
That's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. For more Mug Meetings summaries or for more information about the Manitoba Unix User Group, check out our website at muug.mb.ca.